pastries.
It's not a shit without pastries, obviously. Okay. Jason wants to know what kind of pastries. What?
Jason wants to know what kind of pastries.
Yeah, I can't testify to that. This is the third of our three-part series on the shofar. 2 weeks ago, we looked at sort of the whole makor for the way that shofar plays out. For how we understand zichron truah versus truah, and I made a suggestion as to what zichron truah might mean. Last week, we looked at more of the details of the source of it, and now we're going to take a look at something particular to the bracha on shofar, and you're going to find something quite interesting here, hopefully. We're going to start with a sugya in Masechet Psachim. It is a sugya that also repeats it's a sugya that also shows up at Sukkah, but the Kulei Alma Mia Miikara Ba'inan Livruche. It's actually a sugya that shows up three times in Shas. This is kind of considered to be the main place of the sugya. Context, just to give you a sense. The Gemara is discussing making a bracha before checking for chametz, and whether the word is leva'er or al-bi'ur. And in the middle of that discussion, what becomes clear is that everybody assumes that the bracha is made before you do the mitzvah. All right, and that's what we're picking up. D'chulei alma mia me'ikara ba'inan livruche. So all of the different sides of this discussion agree that the bracha is made before you do the action. By the way, what are other options? If you're going to make a bracha of a mitzvah, what are the other options? One option is to make it before you do the mitzvah. What's another option?
Just after.
To do it after you're done, right? And then what's the third option?
While you're doing it?
While you're doing it. Very good. Okay, so let's take a look and see how this plays out in the Bavli, but then we're going to see a curious passage in the Yerushalmi. Menalan. So what's the source for saying that you have to make the bracha before doing an action? By the way, remember the name Shmuel here, you'll see why. Now, what the statement is, for all mitzvot, you make the bracha for them, over la'asiyatan. Whatever over may mean, relative to their doing. Okay? And the assumption based on the context here is that over means before. Because the whole point is, how do we know you have to make brachot before doing a mitzvah? Because Shmuel said, for all mitzvot, you make the bracha over la'asiyatan. Now, as a parenthesis, but a vital parenthesis, not for our topic, but a vital anyways, is kol ha-mitzvot. Is that true that you make a bracha for all mitzvot?
No.
Yeah.
Well, there's many, many mitzvot that you don't make. Give me examples of a mitzvah you don't make a bracha for.
Staka.
Anytime you give staka, you don't say a bracha. Shekhi chalam sivan or latate staka. Right? Or la'anik la'anim or whatever you want to say. What other mitzvah do we have that we don't make a bracha before?
Shavat Aveda.
Hashavat Aveda. Good. And by the way, I'm going to right now just give a general rule. All the mitzvot that are interpersonal, we don't make a bracha on. Including Kibbur Avim, including Bikur Cholim and Achasat Torchim. We don't make a bracha on those. What else do we not make a bracha on? What other mitzvot do we have that we don't make a bracha on?
We don't make it on negative commandments.
Okay, because there's no act of fulfillment, right? There's just restraining yourself. Correct. What else? Is Kriyat Shema mitzvah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you say a bracha beforehand? Asher kiddushanu sadav tzivanu likro shma.
No.
You don't. Now, by the way, in the writings of the Gaonim, there is a suggestion that if you're saying kriyat shma independent of tefillah, like you davened early and say kriyat shma later at night, you would say a bracha. But we don't do that. That's not the common custom. There's kiddush Friday night a mitzvah. Yes, it is. Asher kiddushanu sadav tzivanu likadesh na shabbat. We don't say. So there's all sorts of explanations for why certain mitzvot don't get a bracha. And I'm not going to go into that, but just pointing out that this statement, kol ha-mitzvot, should be interpreted, all mitzvot for which you're going to make a bracha, or all mitzvot which fit into category X, Y, and Z, The rule is you make the bracha before doing them. And over means immediately before doing them. Okay, and now the Gemara goes, my mashma dahai over leishna dakdumehu. So the assumption is that Shmuel is actually using biblical Hebrew here. Because what would you say if you're speaking rabbinic Hebrew and you want to say make the bracha before? You would say lifnei. So they say, well, where do we get the idea that over means before? The answer is Amnachma Yitzhak de Amar Kra, Vayarot Achimats, Derech Hakikar, Vayavor Takushi. Now, la'avor means to pass, right? And so in this case, when Avshalom had been killed in battle and Achimatz really wanted to run and tell David the good news that the war is over, Yoav told him, don't run. You got nothing good to tell him. He's going to be upset that Avshalom was killed. And by the way, I killed him. And so he sends a Cushi, a Namibian soldier. And the Cushi is running and Achimatz finally gets the go-ahead to run and he runs and he runs so fast he passes the Cushi, right? Vayavor ta'kushi. So he passes him, but now he's in front of him. So now we're reading over as being in front of. Abaya omar mihacha v'hu avar lifneihem. This is Yaakov with the gift being brought to Esav. He comes in front of everybody. V'aytem mihacha v'yavor malkam lifneihem adonai b'roshamet. By the way, a pasuk that we use in Malchiot in Musaf on next Tuesday and Wednesday. Okay, so we have pasukim. Now, Bei Rav Amri, in the school of Rav, Rav's not alive anymore, but in his Beit Midrash, they said this rule is true, chutz min ha-tevila ve-shofar. This is our starting point. Two exceptions, where you do not make the bracha before doing it. One of them is tevila, and one of them is shofar. Okay? Now, our analysis. Bishlama tevila, I understand tevila. Right now, I'm going to read it minimally. It means tevila of a convert, meaning somebody's converted. So bishlama tevila, I understand why you can't make the bracha before going into the mikvah. De'akati gavra lochazi, the man's not yet fit. He can't say asher kiddushanu before he's Jewish. So I understand why he can't say the bracha. By the way, there was a common custom already in the time of Tosfot that when women go to the mikvah, they make the bracha afterwards based on this. So Tosfot here in Psachim justifies the custom. It says, okay, because they're a little, you know, they're tamei. Okay, but it's not the simple pshat. Ela shofar my tama. Why would you say that shofar? You can't make the bracha before. Bechitema mishum dilma mikalkala tkia. Because you're thinking maybe you'll goof up the tkia. In other words, you say a shekisham zimazan lishma kol shofar. And then you go, it doesn't work. So therefore your bracha was a bracha. Than any other bracha that involves the successful execution of an action, you couldn't make it. You might goof it up. You might mess up the shechita. So leave mila alone for right now. You might mess up the shechita. Asher kisham zan zan wa shechita, you make an avela. But we don't say that because we say you're making the bracha on the mitzvah that you're about to engage in, and obviously you're hoping to do it right. So hopefully you'll do shofar right. Okay. So the Gemara is mystified by shofar being an exception. Ela Amar Rav Chista, and Rav Chista was a student of Rav. It's kind of a student of Rav Huna, or young student of Rav. And so he had a tradition also against Bei Rav, Chutz Minat Tvila Bilvad. They got it wrong. What they said, besides Tkiah and Shofar, besides Tvila and Shofar, no, it's just Tvila. Shofar is fine. So Shofar is like everything else, but understand that there was kicking in the distance, there was something there about shofar being an exception to the rule. We got to figure out why. So there's a parallel passage in the Yerushalmi at the last chapter of Brachot. And does the following. And remember, I asked you to remember Shmuel because you're going to see something curious here. Mitzvot emat mevarech alehen. The Yerushalmi asked the question. When do you make Brachot on mitzvot? Rabbi Yochanan Omer, over la'asiyatan. Now, Rabbi Yochanan takes the position that we just described to Shmuel as before doing them. Rav Huna Omer, b'sha'at asiyatan. What does that mean, b'sha'at asiyatan?
As you're doing it.
As you're doing it. So you make the bracha as you're doing it. So that would mean, as I'm wrapping my tefillin, I say, asher kishon salam tefillin l'niach tefillin. And as I'm as I'm eating matzah, I'll say al achilat matzah, maybe. Kind of difficult, they're not full. All right. And but while I'm doing it, as I'm shaking the lulav, I'll pick up the lulav, and while I'm shaking it, I'll say I shake shalom shalom tzivan otel lav, not beforehand. Okay. And now, ati the Rav Huna, this statement of Rav Huna fits Kishmuel. Remember, Shmuel's the one in the Bavli who said you make it before. But here in the Yerushalmi, they're quoting Shmuel as saying, "The Amar Biyosi Bei Rav Bun." He's the latest of the Amorai Eretz Yisrael in the Yerushalmi, middle of the 4th century, towards the end of the 4th century. B'shem Shmuel, kol haMitzvot tu'not bracha b'sha'at asiyatan. All brachot should be made while you're doing the mitzvah. Chutz, get this, mitkia, which is shofar, utevila. Now, why would he say that there's an exception of shofar that you can't do it while you're doing the mitzvah?
Because you can't blow and talk.
You can't blow and say the bracha at the same time. Right? So now we're starting to piece things together. Right? And by the way, the Yesh Omrim Kiddushin B'Be'ilah, there is a bracha that's among what we call brachot shenishtak'u. An old friend of mine, who passed away a number of years ago, wrote a book on it, brachot shenishtak'u, brachot that are mentioned in the Gaonim and here and there in the Gemara that we don't say. They got kind of lost. And so one of them is a bracha that's made before consummating a marriage in the room, or, you know, in intimacy. So he said, you can't make that while you're doing the mitzvah because not appropriate to say bracha in circumstance like that. Okay. But tekiah we get. But now suddenly it sheds light on the statement above. The statement above wasn't so weird as we thought. Because maybe if the original statement was you make the bracha while you're doing the mitzvah, then that means that that shofar has to be an exception. You can't make, and by the way, I would add matzah to that. You can't make the bracha while you're eating matzah because it's in your mouth. But certainly shofar you can't. You also, by the way, can't say the bracha while you're counting the omer because you can't. Your mouth can't be saying two things at the same time. Okay, so there'll be other exceptions and shofar will be the model. Okay. But now you got to ask the question, so when do you make the bracha on the shofar? According to that. So with tefillah, we know what we do. You can't make the bracha before. You can't make the bracha during because you're in the water. So you make the bracha when you get out. I get it. According to this, when are you going to make the bracha on tekiah? Can you imagine that after you've done all of the tekiot, you're then going to say a bracha, shekin tzom 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 tzom
find what you want to call a set, but according to this, maybe after the first
and then you can make a hefsek. You understand? One way or the other, you got a problem. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying the Yerushalmi doesn't address it. Because the Yerushalmi is not taking that position. The Yerushalmi is taking the Rabbi Yochanan position. You make the bracha beforehand. But I want to show you where shofar might have crept in here. All right? So now, let's go ahead. I want to show you something which is a curiosity that that is just really worth sharing. We have the Talmud Bavli. The Talmud Bavli is the most significant central Jewish text that exists, without question. Today we made a siyum on Masechet Sukkah. Daf Yomi has energized even more interest in Talmud Bavli. It is our lifeblood. However, the Talmud Yerushalmi has existed for as long, even longer. And the Talmud Yerushalmi, in some circles, was seen as worthy of attention and of study, in Ashkenaz more than in Sfard, for instance, in certain cases. And the Yerushalmi, which really for hundreds of years was the province of a very small elite of scholars, in the last really 40, 50 years has exploded. Interest in the Yerushalmi and finding Geniza fragments of the Yerushalmi and putting back to the better texts of the Yerushalmi, right? And we're all familiar that the Yerushalmi has a lot of problems because the one single manuscript we have of the entire Yerushalmi, Ketav Yad Leiden, is filled with errors. And so getting the proper text to Yerushalmi is a real challenge. But now I'm going to give you a real challenge. The Or Zeruah, it was Rabbi Yitzchak or Moshe of Vienna, in the beginning of the 13th century, the Or Zeruah writes the following. Umavarech lishmoa bekol shofar. By the way, what's the bracha we make, Robert? Asher kisham sam sivanu lishmoa kol shofar. Correct. Me too. He has the bracha lishmoa bikol shofar. Kedi'ita biYerushalmi. He quotes Yerushalmi with this bracha. Yerushalmi says what the bracha is lishmoa bikol shofar. The Mechiltin, it's in our Masechet, Rosh Hashanah, Sof Perek Rahu Beitin. Right? So, and he quotes it. It says, HaTokea b'shofar tzarich levarech asher kitchanu mitzvotah v'tzivanu lishmoa b'kol shofar en v'shachianu. Now, the interesting problem, as I put into the note, is it's a quote from Yerushalmi that doesn't exist. And by the way, it's not the only. There are dozens of quotes in particular literature from quoting Yerushalmi that doesn't exist anywhere in the Yerushalmi. Not in any version of the Yerushalmi that we have, not in any Kitvei Yad or fragments or anything else. So I'll tell you, I'm going to take a minute as an aside to tell you about this. We have a phenomenon which is referred to, I think Professor Zussman refers to it this way, as HaYerushalmi HaAshkenazi. The German Yerushalmi, what is that? Evidently, they had a text of the Yerushalmi that at some point in time, a copyist had added margin notes, and somehow the margin notes had infiltrated in. And so the Rav Yah, the Or Zoroah, his student, and other German scholars would quote a Yerushalmi that's not a Yerushalmi. The German Yerushalmi. For a long time, they actually believed that there was a book out there called Sefer HaYerushalmi that had nothing to do with our Yerushalmi. But the evidence seems to point to the idea that they had a text of the Yerushalmi that had gloss notes in it that some people thought were part of the Yerushalmi, and they quoted it. This bracha is nowhere in the Yerushalmi, and I looked up all the relevant text at the end of this parak. There's nothing there like this. But just to point that out. All right. Now, by the way, we know the bracha, as Robert said, is the Shmua Kol Shofar. The Or Zoroah has the Shmua Bikol Shofar. Is that much different? Perhaps. But that's not the only version of the bracha that we have, which tells you something about how old the bracha is. The older a bracha is, the less variance there'll be. All right? So, for instance, as an example, what's the first bracha of Birkat HaMazon? Birkat Hazan. That they all end Hazanat HaKol. Every version of Birkat HaMazon ends with Hazanat HaKol. That they all mention Noten Lechem L'chol Basar Kilam Chasdo, all true. But you start looking at different nuschaot, especially the Yemenite nusach, it goes all over the place. You know why? Because that wasn't a fixed text for a long time. And therefore, different minagim, different places. The older the text, the less variance they're going to be. The reason I mention that is because of this. The Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, right? Late 13th century, early 14th century, Germany and then Spain, quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Katam Katav, Shiesh Tavarech, Al Tkiat Shofar. What does he say the bracha should be? Not Lishmoa Kol Shofar, but Al Tkiat Shofar. Mishum Da Asiyata Higmar Mitzvata. When you blow the shofar, that's the mitzvah. Rav Yah Hevi Ha Yerushalmi, Tokea Shofar Tzarech Lavarech, Asher Kishalm Zlav Tzivanu, Lishmoa Bekol Shofar. The Rav Yah also quoted that same Yerushalmi that doesn't exist. Lishmoa b'kol shofar, v'chagach tokim, v'shachiyano. V'chein katav b'hagva, Allah HaDolot wrote, hadim v'archim lishmoa b'kol shofar, v'lom v'archim litkoa b'shofar. He explains, I could not find this in the Bahag, but he says, he quotes the Bahag as saying, that the reason we say lishmoa, not litkoa, is, v'al tkiat shofar, v'al mikra megillah, mishum debishmiat kol shofar, hu yotze. You're yotze when you hear it. Hearing is the mitzvah. V'lom itkiat shofar. All right. And that's why, for instance, a deaf person cannot be a Baal Tkia. Why can't a deaf person be a Baal Tkia? He knows how to blow. Because he can't be Yotze the Mitzvah, because he can't hear it. And therefore he's not Chayav. And therefore he can't do it on behalf of others. Okay? So now you notice that we have two versions of the bracha, Lishmoa b'kol shofar and Litkoa b'shofar. And curiously, we think, well, he's quoting the Bahag. That means it must have been in the times of the Gaonim. Everybody said Lishmoa b'kol shofar, and just Rabbeinu Tam came up with this new idea. Not so quick. Source 5 is the She'iltot. Are you familiar with the She'iltot? So I'll quickly familiarize you. Rav Achai, who was not a Gaon, by the way, he was not one of the Gaonim, although he's often miscalled Gaon. Gaon just means the head of the yeshiva. Rav Achai, in the 9th century, presented these shiurim basically on Shabbat, And what they were was using Parshat HaShavua as an opportunity to teach halacha. It's all in Aramaic. There's several versions of it. There's several versions even of the numbering of the Sheiltot and where certain Sheiltot are. And in the Sheiltot, at the end of the Torah, meaning in Zot HaBracha, one of the last Sheiltot, the Mechayvin debate Beit Yisrael, Lemitka B'chat Sotzrata B'chat B'tishrei. He says you have to blow the shofar and the fifth B'tishrei. And he goes through the details. And then he describes how you do it. Hechi Ba'i Le'aved, what do you do? Mekami D'matzli D'Musaf, before you daven Musaf, the Shlech Tzibur has to stand up. Only the Shlech Tzibur stands up, by the way. The Kulei Al Miyati, everybody else sits. What do we do, by the way, during Shofar? We all stand. He says, he stands, everybody else sits. The Nishko Chatzroto Biyadei, he takes the Shofar in his hand, to Muvarech, Bachur Chata Hashem, Kerech Lama Shek Hashem, Tzavet Simanu, Litkoa B'Shofar, and Asher Achianu. Notice. So this Nusach of Rabbeinu Tam is a lot older than Rabbeinu Tam. So there's two nuschaot coursing through. Now here's the question. How come they don't know what the nusach is? The Gemara has a whole discussion about al biur chametz and levayur chametz. The Gemara has a whole discussion. Is it motzi lechem min haaretz or ham motzi lechem min haaretz? This bracha doesn't show up in Shas at all. Very strange. So much so that during the times of the Gaonim, you already have two different versions of the bracha. One makes its way to Rabbeinu Tam. The other one makes its way to the Rav Yah, and of course to the Rambam. What's going on? Why are these two different brachot? So I'm going to suggest what the reason for this is. But first I want to take a look at this passage from the Baal HaMor, which is mind-blowing. For those in the dive show, we saw it on Monday, but it's worth seeing again. It is a mind-blowing passage. The Gemara asks the famous question, why do we blow shofar sitting and standing? And if you remember the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is L'arbeva Satan. We blow tkiot sitting, we blow tkiot standing in order to confuse Satan. What does that mean? Everybody's all over the place with what that means. A lot of different explanations. But the assumption, the general assumption, follows Tosfot, that when he says miyushav, that's referring to the 30 that we blow before Musaf. And mi'umad refers to the ones we blow during Musaf. And the question is why we do both. Because after all, the main tkiah is the tkiah during the tefillah, which we'll talk about tonight. So why do we even blow beforehand? We blow beforehand to confuse Satan. How does that confuse Satan? Geves. The Baal HaMor has a whole different take. Rav Zrachya Halevi has a different take. Hatkiot shetakuk shehin yoshvin. What does miyushav mean? Elo atkiot shetokin b'seder brachot b'tfilat shleach tzibur. They're talking about chazarat hashatz. That's sitting. Now, b'shein me'umad the shleach tzibur, even though the chazan is standing, ain't on the sharam el miyushav. Everybody else is sitting. So that's called miyushav. So what's me'umad? In other words, according to him, we say only 30 tkiot at all. And that's during chazarat hashatz. There's no tkiot before Musaf. U'tkiya shem me'umad aitam minhag bi'adam. What's this tkiya me'umad? They had a custom in the times of the Gemara, Shayu Tokino Taksha Yotze Merakneset. As they were leaving Shul, they blow one more blast. One blast. So they blow 30 during Shmoneh Esrei. And when davening was all over, after Adon Olam, Mechvais Nisht, they would blow one big blast. And that was L'Arbei V'Satan. Umatzati Sad L'Dvarai. I found support for this theory. B'chiburei HaGeonim, Kedam Rav Sadia. Rav Sadia, the most famous of the Gaonim, says, Achar tefilat ha-musaf miri'in tru'a gedola le'arbev ha-satan. After Musaf's over, you do a tru'a gedola. What's a tru'a gedola? Not a tkiya gedola. What's a tru'a gedola? So we assume it's going to be da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da for a long time. And you do it, or else a loud tru'a, le'arbev ha-satan. That confuses the satan. So we see two gonim who had this position that there was a tkiya at the end. So the Baal HaMor says there's a tkiah at the end. It must be that Yushav is the regular ones in Shmoneh Esrei. So why do we blow 30 before we start? So he says that's a recent custom. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. He says, Mashin nahagu litkoa kol atkiot shen yoshvin. This minig that we have of doing all the tkiot sitting down, umvarchin alein berchat atkiah, making the brachan, nir'eli kilo haya kein bimei rabotenu chachmei HaTalmud. He said, that wasn't the minhag in the time of the Talmud. Meaning, in the time of the Talmud, the first kiyot you'd hear would be during Shmoneh Esrei. Ela min hagu shinhigu dorot ha'achronim mishum cholin u'mishum anusin. It's a minig that they created, a custom, a tekana that they created because of sick people. There's some people who can't stay for Musaf. They get tired, they get sick, whatever it is. And therefore, we want to make sure that Yotzei Shofar, so we're going to blow 30 kolot for them before Musaf. So therefore, watch what he says. It's revolutionary, and it's going to help us with our entire sugya. So on their behalf, they made these kiyot earlier, Shmir Shav. And they made up a new bracha with the short form of a bracha, Asher Kisham Sav Sivanu blank, for the shofar. Now, by the way, the first thing you can understand based on this theory, and I'm going to adopt this theory for what we're doing, based on this theory, you can understand right away why there are different versions of the bracha. Because if the bracha is so late, it's happening after the times of the Gemara, so it's going to be nara, nara, pashte. It's going to be this one does it litkoa, this one does lishmoa, bikol, this one does lishmoa, kol. Just like we have with other brachot that have variant nuschot, like ladlik ner shel Chanukah, ladlik ner Chanukah, ladlik ner shel Chanukah, al mitzvat hadakat ner Chanukah. All of these are attested texts. Okay. So now, before we go back to the beginning to explain the sugya in a new light, I want to show you what the Rambam does. The Rambam describes what tkiyot should look like. And he says that, watch this, Hatzibur chayavin lishmoa tkiyot al seder brachot. You're obligated to hear the tkiyot with the brachot in Musaf. Ketzad, he says, Hashleach tzibur omer avot gvurot kedushat Hashem, Umalchiot. Then the fourth bracha is Malchiot, Tokea Shalosh. Rezichonot, Tokea Shalosh. Sheforot, Tokea Shalosh, and you finish. Right? And then he goes through the issue of the middle brachot and what it has to be. And then he says in paragraph Tet, Hamin Haga Pashut, Beseder Tkiot Shalorosh Hashanah Batzibur Kachu. Here's the simple custom. Achar Shekorim Batorah Machzimina Sefer Yoshvina Kolam Vechad Omedum Varech. That's the one we make. Lishmoa kol shofar. And by what's the difference between lishmoa kol shofar and lishmoa bikol shofar? As long as we're here, let's ask. Could be that it's nothing. Could be that it's just, okay, two versions of the same thing. But what does lishmoa kol shofar mean? What do the words mean?
The sound.
What?
To listen to the sound.
To hear the sound of the shofar. What's lishmoa bikol shofar? So lishmoa b'kol means to obey. Lishmoa b'kol shofar may mean the shofar is giving me a message and the mitzvah is to obey the message. Maybe. What's that message? Oh, that's tonight. But in any case, v'chol ha'anam ayin amen, and then you say shechianu, and they all say amen, and then you blow, etc. And now look at the bottom. Zeh shetokea im halachayot, shem yoshvin, hu shetokea seder brachot chen omdin. The one who makes who blows shofar at the beginning, blows during Shmoneh Esrei. He doesn't talk in between. And if he talks, even though it was wrong, he doesn't make another bracha. Notice that the Rambam makes no mention of it, which of course he's not going to mention. So why do we make these 30 brachot, the 30 tkiot beforehand? Satan has no place in the Rambam's work, doesn't it? Right? It's not part of it. How does he explain it? I don't know. But he may, in this, I don't know, agree with the Balamor about his theory about where these 30 came from. But now we can go back and look at the sugya and see it in a fresh light. If indeed it's the case, like the Balamor says, that in the times of the Gemara, there were no 30 blasts before Musaf. The first blast you heard were during Musaf. You can now understand this line where, according to Beirav, you make a bracha before every mitzvah, chutz min atvilah we get, and shofar. Because you can't make a bracha and shofar because you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Right? Now, at a later point, they say, we don't understand why shofar should be different. Because maybe by that point, they already had shofar coming earlier. Or maybe they had a different theory, and I'll tell you what it is. So they got shofar out. However, here we have this other piece, which is you can't make the bracha on shofar while you're blowing it. Well, that we understand. But here's the question I'm going to ask you is, what is the bracha on shofar? Think about this. The Baal Amor says, originally the first tkiya you heard was during Chazarat HaShatz. Okay. And he says, after they then established 30 tkiyot before Shmona Esrei for people who were sick or for whatever reason, then they made up a new bracha. Lishmoa or Litkoa b'shofar. Right? So what was the bracha beforehand? The rule is, kol ha-mitzvot kulan need a bracha. What was the bracha on shofar? I'll tell you what I think it was. I think that the bracha on shofar was Melech ha-kol ha-aretz mekadesh Yisrael v'yom ha-zikaron tkia Zocher ha-brit tkia Shomea kol tru'at ha-mor Yisrael v'rachamim tkia. We think, because it's almost always the case, that the bracha you make before a mitzvah follows the short form of Asher Kidshanu Tzav Tzivanu blank, and then you do it. Not always the case. Maybe the bracha for tkia is the bracha at the end of each one of those brachot. And you think that's nuts? I'll show you it's not so nuts. I beforehand asked you, is it true about the rule that for all mitzvot we make a bracha beforehand? And we all identified it's not true. It's not true for all mitzvot. And I gave as an example Kriyat Shema. But that's not exactly true what I said. We do make a bracha before Kriyat Shema. What's that bracha? Ahava Rabbah. And it's not a Sher Kiddush Shalom Mitzvah, but it's a bracha on Kriyat Shema. How do I know it's a bracha on Kriyat Shema? Because what is the Gemara? It's a famous passage in Brachot, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Bet. What does Shmuel say? If you get up in the morning and you're not going to learn before davening, you don't have to make Birchat HaTorah. Why? Because you already said it. When? In Ahava Rabbah. In other words, he sees Ahava Rabbah as a kind of Birchat HaMitzvah before your first Torah of the day, which is Shema. If you're going to learn before, you have to make a Brachot. So then things develop as they develop. In other words, Kriyat Shema also is a mitzvah that we fulfill during tefillah, and the brachot of tefillah are the brachot for that mitzvah. So I'd like to suggest that the bracha for shofar is three different brachot. The bracha of malchiot is a bracha for shofar. The bracha for zichronot is a bracha for shofar. And the bracha for shofar is a bracha for shofar, which also means that the experience of the same exact sounds that you're hearing after Malchiot and after Zichron and Shofar is three unique experiences. One is you are hearing a tkiah of crowning God. One is you are hearing a tkiah of raising our remembrance before God. And one is you're hearing a tkiah of having the Shofarot of history and of future history and of meta history be sounded. And that really is the bracha of the shofar. After they had to make this accommodation for people and have the shofar blown before tefillah, then they made up this nusach of the short style bracha, as you say, matpeah katzar. So hopefully that gives us not only a better understanding into both this Yerushalmi and Bavli and the sugya, it gives us a better understanding why there's two different versions of the bracha, lishmoa and litkoa. We also now understand what the relationship between shofar and the three brachot in the middle of tefillah. It's not just here's a theme, blow shofar. It's the theme is the bracha on the shofar, and that the shofar fits within those themes, and that when we hear the shofar at each one of those points, we should be thinking about how it reflects on that theme. So hopefully that gives us a better insight into Rosh Hashanah, and everybody should have a ktiva v'chatimah.